The following program contains strong language, left-wing political comment, an offensive line.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
Alles einsteigen, bitte! Hirn schließen! Das Blumenpflücken für der Bass ist verboten!
State of war would exist soonest. This country is at war.
I, your leader, will see you safely through to a better world! And now, a walk in the Black Forest.
Well, good evening and welcome to 2RRR 88.5 FM. This is The Walk in the Black Forest, episode 310, or version 3, episode 10. Something like that. On tonight's show, Richard Science Segment, The Real Ninja Turtles, Richard Science Segment, Brunei Declares War, Richard Science Segment, Captain Planet, Richard Science Segment, and more. All that and a rejuvenated rock outfit, A Walk in the Black Forest, signed, sealed, delivered, we're on eBay.
Lars Ulrich, you're a cock.
Yes,
you don't know that. You don't know that.
Well, you know, I think the facts kind of prove that he is.
Well, yes.
Well, is that?
Well, the fact is, we were saying while we were listening to that, that the drums are the lead instrument in Metallica these days, followed then by percussion, followed then by the African percussion, and then followed by the bongos. And then I think Kirk Hammett might come in next, or I lied.
It's
James Hetfield's vocals.
Yes, no, it's probably the gate on the snare.
Yes,
and the and the reverb on the cymbals. That's probably the next most prominent.
And then it's the sweat that comes off Lars that hits the toms.
Yes,
which they've amplified.
Yeah,
which then affects
Hetfield's voice.
Yes,
right, ever so slightly.
It's exactly right.
As the third.
I think they argued about that for 6.5 years about the cadence of the sweat.
Absolutely.
And if he drank certain things, it changed the entire sweat.
You've absolutely
vocals
got to get
dynamics.
The cadence of the sweat.
You got to get into the cadence of the sweat. That, of course, was Metallica off their new album, Death Magnetic.
Or Magnetic.
May I say, not too bad.
Not too bad.
Considering how crap I was told that it was.
And the track name of that was?
Track 10.
You put your CD away in your bag.
Yeah.
They've run out of names.
In my bag.
Yeah, exactly right. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a Welcome Back Forest, 2RRR 88.5 FM Refreshed.
Exciting news.
Yes.
Exciting news. Today, we received a new book. Now, we get books at the station every now and then, and this
can we get this correct? You and I get books at the station every now and then.
I don't get books I can't read.
That's true.
Because they actually come from a show that hasn't been on air for 3 years.
Here we fucking
There's always that.
I was actually being critical rather
now,
than
this
productive.
Now, this is a fantasy novel, and I'm not going to say who it's by, because just bear with me here. Okay,
Isn't it by...
Yes, Billy Bob Thornton. Yeah, fantasy book by Billy Bob Thornton. Now, if you took a fleeting glance at the name of the book, what would you think it was called?
I would probably think it's called... No, I would go more along the lines of Flaming Death.
Well, it's interesting because it's one of those fantasy novels where it has a very an awkward font on the front to see, and it's a metallic. So, speaking of Metallica, so it's a little hard to make out. Now, when I first saw this book, I actually thought it was called Sodomy Queen.
Yep, nice.
It's not. It's called Shadow Queen.
How long into the book did it take you to realize?
About 6 chapters. It says here, squat and blocky. It was still the highest structure in the holding. Now, speaking of holding...
And you just happened to read that as you were panning through.
I was going through.
And you went, there's no sodomy in this book, I'd like my money back?
Yes.
Nice.
It says here, the granddaughter and I leave tomorrow on the Aisteville progression. And I personally think that's disgusting.
It is.
You give me the book and I'll show you some sodomy.
Now, we should actually say that we are refreshed after our week off. We had last week off, and we're refreshed. So last week being off,
we are now refreshed.
Can I tell you one of the things I did?
You got refreshed
in my slight week off being refreshed here.
Yep.
Have you got one of those little iPod adapters that, or sorry, one of those MP3 device
yep.
adapters that plug in and broadcast on the radio stations?
No, I don't.
So I had one of those about 6 or 7 years ago.
Yep.
When they first
you
came
invented
out.
Them.
I did. Yes. They were my idea.
No, they're called R-Pods.
Exactly. Yeah. R-Pods. Unfortunately, they didn't work very well.
You have to think about Richard's pod.
Because you
I don't want to talk about it. It brings back memories.
You plug it in.
Sodomy queen. Hey, go into your bookstops.
Yeah, it's there. So you plug it into your iPod, right? And it broadcasts on a radio frequency,
and
right?
And Gareth the Elf found Richard's.
the first fatal flaw in this thing is they forgot to realise that while it's trying to broadcast on a radio station, there are fucking radio stations broadcasting on radio stations.
Also true.
That's a fatal flaw.
It's a fatal flaw. So, last week, I've heard a lot of rumours that the technology's improved. Mm-hmm. I don't know how, because the same radio stations are still fucking broadcasting.
Yep.
So I thought I'll buy one.
He started well today. Yeah. So I thought we were going to just move into the groove, and he's just decided, I'm going to do it now.
Just a small warning, there is language on this show.
Yes, bottom.
I bought a really good quality one.
Knowing you, that probably cost about $3,500.
Close. So I plugged it in.
$4,500.
I plugged it into my phone, actually. Yep. My iPod / iPhone yep. thing, which is just an iPod.
And your multifunctional device.
The beauty of these new ones is you can press a button on them,
mm-hmm.
and they go off, and they find the frequency.
But if you press another button, they go on.
They do. That's good. I love that. It's the same button.
Oh, economy.
They scan all the frequencies
to find a vacant one.
They find the best frequency.
Yep.
That has nothing on it or the worst signal.
Yep. And blocks the signal.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. No, it doesn't block the signal. It just broadcasts on that signal because it assumes that the signal is so bad it doesn't matter. Yep. Every time I've done it in Sydney, it's been 88.5.
Which is a great station.
Which for our Golden Deluxe fucking listeners is
non-terrestrial
edition. Whatever is our frequency.
Yes. So what you're saying is all those people driving around with this major device can't listen to us.
No.
Unless they put us on their pod.
Well, the great thing about
downloading
it,
us.
Ironic.
From our website.
Yes.
Ironic.
Well, the great thing about it, Pete, is when I'm driving along and I switch to Triple R, I hear every song I want to hear.
Nice!
Yeah!
Is that fantastic?
It's fantastic. You know what? Your local radio station, you know?
You know, the great thing about Triple R, which of course, its catchphrase for those of you who are not Triple R listeners, is your alternative.
And it is your alternative.
Really is your alternative.
Well, there's two catchphrases. I mean, there's your alternative and we're fucking shit. But the your alternative one certainly counts.
I could never really got that one because what I really, if I was going to actually like feel like connection to a catchphrase, I'd actually prefer the phrase, we're fucking shit.
Right.
See that? It's multi-level.
I can see that you can giggle at it. Yeah.
You can have that little sort of like, you know, childish go,
a bit of a titter.
It's multifunction polis. And you can get angry with it. And that's what you need to be able to do, I think, in life, is experience emotions across that broad gamut. And just saying we're shit just doesn't do it. Doesn't do it for me.
Good.
Yeah. Done there now.
Good.
That wasn't funny, really, was it?
No, it wasn't. I thought mine was better. But anyway, that's good. There you go.
See, you know, I try hard. I really do. You know,
and
I,
that's the problem, Pete.
You know what? I sat at home and I rehearsed all of that. I wrote it down. Actually, no, I lie. Oh, I know where I went wrong. I got Will Anderson to write it. Damn! Never make that mistake again.
Can he write?
No.
Fantastic.
And he's not funny either, which is a real problem. Action. Now,
why am I here? Like, yeah, I know. Look, I was thinking the same thing. You know what I thought to myself? I thought, sometimes Pete really gives me the shits, which is why I left the room.
Nice.
Now,
this is a Walk on My Forest, which is 88.5 FM.
I know.
Yes. Now, back to me. Thank you. All right. I watched one of the most racially offensive films I have ever seen.
Bringing Down the House?
No. I haven't seen this film since 1989.
Sound of Music.
That's pretty racially offensive, actually. You may have trumped me there.
Right.
No. I haven't seen this film since 1989. I ordered it on DVD a couple of weeks ago from a noted Australian DVD seller's $2 specials.
Awesome.
Starring C. Thomas Howell.
Right.
And Ray Dawn Chong.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, I bring you Soul Man.
Gee,
now, do you remember Soul Man? It was a big hit.
A Soul Man. It wasn't a remake as well. Wasn't it a remake?
Was it a remake, was it?
Well, there was one that was stole the idea as well.
Quite possibly. Probably an Eddie Murphy film, I suspect. He is actually black. That's a bit of a problem to that film. But
only just.
So, Soul Man, for those of you who have no idea what the film is about, it's about C. Thomas Howell, who is a preppy, spoiled brat.
Which is really against type for C. Thomas Howell. He has spent a career as a gritty action hero. Mm,
exactly.
And to play this was very different
for him. In the Mickey Rourke mold.
Yeah, someone like that.
Yeah. So he gets into Harvard Law, and his father decides that he needs to learn about life.
Yep.
By cutting him off from his allowance and saying he has to find $53,875 to pay for his Harvard Law. Right. What he finds is that there's a scholarship available for the full fees to the brightest African-American student in Los Angeles.
I'm already offended.
So he takes tanning pills, four times the legal dose, and immediately becomes black.
Mm.
Which somehow also changes...
Soul Man.
Soul Man. He somehow automatically changes his hair from straight white man hair to... an afro.
That's amazing. You know
that
why?
That isn't a wig.
You know why?
Mm-hmm.
He used ebony glow.
I believe that.
It's been banned now, ebony glow, but it was big in the 80s.
The remaining 90 minutes of the film is effectively one giant black person joke.
Right, so it's a big white minstrel show.
It's a little very much black and white minstrel show. Little bit of...
You know, I use the term white minstrel show. Did you notice that? Notice the politically astute comment?
Yeah, I liked it. And, of course, in the end,
like
after he actually falls in love with the black girl played by Ray Dawn Chong, who he has deprived of said scholarship, and she actually is a single mum having to raise a young child and work in the cafeteria serving slop to a bunch of white supremacists. Who happened to be going to Harvard Law.
So the moral of the story is the white guy always gets everything.
In this case, yes he did.
So my
question was de-black and say,
okay.
I'm sorry, I've now learnt what it means, a little bit about what it means to be black, and the tagline of this, because his professor was James Earl Jones.
Uh-oh.
The tagline was, the professor said, well, now you're... Sorry, I can't do a Darth Vader impersonation. Now you know what it's like to be black. And he goes, no. I can wake up in the morning and not be black. So I haven't. That was the deep moment. And, of course, he ends up getting the girl, which is a completely morally and racially offensive film. And the funny thing is, Richard, have you found, has it been remade?
There is a Soul Man, and there is a spin-off TV series, but I'm not sure if
it's the same thing.
Now, my question for you, and I'm going to speak for... the young men out there who are listening.
Young men.
Was she hot?
Ray Dawn Chong?
Yes.
Ray Dawn Chong, yes, was very hot.
Nice. I just had to check. That's the most important thing. Now, of course, this is probably equally as offensive as a number of movies out there currently, you know, bringing down the house. I can mention that as one of them.
Where, didn't of course, star Ice-T?
No, Steve Martin and Queen Latifah.
Oh, yes, you're right. Sorry, yes, you're with
highly
you.
Highly offensive. Really,
I was thinking about bringing down The House.
Oh.
That was one with Ice-T.
That was Ice-T, yes. And Ice Cube.
Ice Cube,
which, interestingly enough, you know what that makes?
What?
An iced tea.
Nice.
Ice cube, iced tea.
Yeah, nice.
A cool drink. Refreshing.
Yeah, very refreshing.
I don't know.
Tasty. So
you watched the film, you were offended.
I thought it was just interesting.
Why'd you watch it, V?
To be offended.
Research.
All of the above and more. Mm. More particularly, I paid $2 for it, so I wasn't wasting that $2.
Good call.
You bought it?
Yeah, I bought it, paid $2 for it.
You bought it.
Yeah, well, I had a five for $10 deal, and I just, you know, it was only at four, and I'd bought every other Freddie Prinze Jr. film. So, now, the other thing I want to mention, now, this is another strange thing I've been watching. Once again, I admit that this might sound
You're propping up the DVD industry, you know that.
I know. Well, I can't get it on, I wouldn't buy it on Blu-ray, because I'm still backing HD DVD.
Look, Abe and I told you.
Just you wait.
Is this going to be the beta of its generation?
Yes, probably.
Now,
I do have an HD DVD player.
Can I ask a question?
It cost me $20.
Yes.
Can I ask a question here?
Does it play anything?
Is anyone
it's a fantastic upscaling DVD player, I've got to tell you.
Is there anyone here who has watched a piece of... what's the word I'm looking for?
Shit?
Yeah, shit's a word. I was
Tripe.
Trash? Shite.
Bottom.
That is called Hannah Montana.
Yes, Yes, I have.
You have watched Hannah Montana. I
thought she was a singing young girl.
Yes,
pop
she is.
Star.
Now,
so is there a film?
It's
as
a
well
phenomenon.
There?
It's a TV show, to be precise. A Disney
really?
TV show.
It's
yes.
a series. It's a movie.
I
and
have seen. Yeah, I've seen. Yeah.
It's
I
thought
an it was
album.
Her, though. But I thought it was her. I thought it was she, and she also had a TV show.
Sort of. The character of Hannah Montana.
Oh, it's fictional, is it?
It's fictional. The character of
it's
Hannah Montana.
It's not like Star Wars. It's not real.
Dan, dan, dan. Sorry.
Target of all places, yeah. not to mention yeah. anyone in particular, yeah. has Hannah Montana t-shirts.
They do, and they also sell varieties of Hannah Montana merchandise, because I'll personally point out who actually owns Hannah Montana.
Mm.
The Disney Corporation.
Sure.
So brought to you by Buena Vista.
And brought to you by merchandising.
You say that as if they're evil or something.
Yes, that's funny enough, yeah. Now, Hannah Montana is a character played by a young actress.
Yes, well, no, look, hold on a second.
Is it Dolph Lundgren?
We need to take a step back. Played by a young... Well, she can't act.
No.
Mind
no.
you, neither can Nicole Kidman, so that's not yeah. going too far.
She can... You know, Days of Thunder was on the other night. I'd never seen it, and I thought it was not too bad.
Days of Thunder.
It's Top Gun in cars.
Yeah, it was quite nice.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
Anyway,
a hottie,
I'm going to let you... Oh, this it's pre-Botox.
She wasn't a very good actor in that, but she, you know, she's improved and she was definitely a hottie. I can understand why...
Tom Cruise would cheat on his wife.
Someone referred to her forehead as the dodecahedron forehead today.
Yes, that's probably right.
Why would that be?
Because it's rather multifaceted.
Back to you and Hannah Montana.
Nice.
Well, it's descriptive.
Sure.
It's not saying she's had Botox. I wouldn't say that. Would you say that?
Yeah, I'd say she has.
Yeah, fair enough.
Hannah Montana.
Hannah Montana is played by an actress, in inverted commas.
Thank you.
By the name of Miley Cyrus.
Mm, do you know, yes. do you recognise the name?
Yes, I know. We've talked about this before.
Yeah, yes. Father, of course, is a noted country singer.
Thank you.
In inverted commas.
Yes, right.
Billy Ray Cyrus.
Billy Ray Dusty.
Quite surprisingly, plays her father.
Isn't that amazing?
On the series.
Nice.
She's
nice.
Actually known as Miley Stewart.
Yes.
Is her character name. Mm. And his character name is Robbie Ray Stewart.
So why why is it called Hannah Montana?
Because she has a secret life as a pop star called Hannah Montana.
Ah.
And she gets to go on shows as Hannah Montana and sing, but then she just wants a normal life in her beachside residence.
Where no one notices her.
Where no one notices
her. They don't recognize
Hannah Montana. No, because she's got dark hair versus blonde hair.
That's right, you see. Now, it's simple, but very deceptive. You know, this is how Hitler hid for years.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
After the war, he dyed his hair blonde and became Punky Brewster. Now, you see, you've just ruined that because she had dark hair. He dyed his hair blonde and founded the Beach Boys.
And became the Olsen twins.
Mm. Oh, my God. I really want to go home now.
You like the Olsen twins, don't you?
Well, look, if I... You know, the good thing about the Olsen twins is not only can they act, they don't sing, mind you. Not only can they act, they can get you some really good smack if you need any.
Well, certainly one of them can.
Yeah, that's right.
We're not naming which.
Oh, yeah, were you?
Now,
I've got to admit,
I'm good.
Heath did well picking her up.
Now, we should actually say why I've brought this up, other than to talk about Billy Ray and Miley Cyrus.
Yes. Oh, I thought it was just because you're a fan of Hannah Montana.
No, well, funnily enough, I am. I quite like the show.
Really?
Like,
you fracking loser.
I know.
How can you like... Dude, the show sucks.
I want to point out one particular thing. Now, there's a bit of a cult around Hannah Montana.
Yes.
And then there's the subcults that generally generate around these things around what tweens, I believe, is the current term that's used for...
Using tweens?
We're using tweens.
Oh, right.
Now, there's a bit of a cult around tweens. Now, the other cult is a couple of boys... by the name of the Jonas Brothers.
Oh, yes.
Now, the Jonas Brothers...
They came into my work.
Did they? Mm. They're famous for not very much.
Right.
They're famous for being boys in a Disney band.
Yes, which came from the movie Camp Rock.
That's right. Which, of course, is a rip-off of...
High School Priscilla Musical. Queen of the Desert.
High School Musical, you fool.
Oh, yes. Which is also a Disney property.
Yes, that's right.
Now, what's really interesting...
You know there's action figures for Camp Rock?
Is there?
Yes.
Do you own any?
I'd never heard
of
Camp Rock. Are there any Jonas Brother action figures?
I've no idea.
I'd never heard of Camp Rock.
I did, however, see the Gwen Stefani action figure the other day.
So is Camp Rock, they're actually supposedly musicians, are they?
I think so.
They're meant to be musicians in a band, and the Camp Rock is about where you bring musicians together. I watched about 30 seconds of it. It was on Channel
7. Is it as good as the School of Rock or whatever?
School of Rock is The Godfather Part 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And Camp Rock is the most recent film starring Carmen Electra.
Oh, good.
I think that pretty much gives a fair
yeah, scratch. Fair enough.
You like Carmen Electra?
Well, I like both of those.
Yeah, fair enough. So do I.
If I could have them.
Now, you know
what would have been really good? If Carmen Electra was in The Godfather.
That would be awesome. Probably even better if Carmen Electra was my godfather.
Yeah. Now, the interesting thing about this...
I'll tell you what, they wouldn't be cotton wool buds, that's for sure.
I have no idea what that means.
Now,
what does that mean?
Nothing, it's a Disney thing.
Now. Miley Cyrus has been in a little bit of trouble because recently she did a fairly provocative cover shoot for Vanity Fair shot by Annie Leibovitz.
Racy.
It was racy. She showed her back and a little bit of side cleavage.
Still around.
No, some girls do, some girls... No, that's actually the neck. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Now,
she showed a bit of side boob.
There was a bit of side cleavage happening there.
It was, because she doesn't have any front boob.
Which was controversial, considering she's 15.
Yes.
But Billy Ray was there.
Mind you...
Giving his approval.
He was. In fact, he was in the photo, which is pretty much all you have to do to Billy Ray. Get him in the photo and he'll say yes. Mm. Now, there was an interesting shot of young Miley. So she's going out with a supermodel who's 20. Mm-hmm. This supermodel man was on a runway show the other day.
Yep.
And as he walked down the... a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. As he walked down the runway, to get him to smile, mm-hmm. She performed fake fellatio in the air. Now... Technically, ladies and gentlemen, with her being 15...
I'd feel a bit ripped off.
That's illegal.
You could make a fortune out of the video. No, being that she's 15...
And then arrested by an international task force.
G.I. Joe. Yojo. Yeah. I'm concerned for the moral fibre of the young man.
Now, here's the other...
He's 20. Yeah. He is vulnerable to this woman.
Or even who shot it.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm. Now, the interesting thing... And
apparently,
she
needs a tripod.
Her previous boyfriend was Thomas Jonas.
Of the Jonas Brothers. That's
correct.
Right.
See, my story actually has a point eventually.
Fantastic.
And for once.
Well, let us be the judge.
Right. Yeah, fair enough. Okay, you can judge. Mm. So, her mobile phone was stolen. And on there were some racy images.
Which I have downloaded.
On her mobile phone. A couple was her in the shower with a wet t-shirt. A couple was her lifting her top up a little bit and showing a little bit of midriff. And these were all stolen with messages going, check these out, Jonah T, all this sort of stuff, and, whatever else. Now, this actually also caused a little bit of, shall we say, consternation at Disney.
Sure.
Disney were a little bit concerned that their property... which Hannah Montana is, and said TV show, and said actor, Miley
property.
Cyrus.
It's a property. It's a franchise. It's a property.
So this may have damaged their property. Now, interestingly, there was a little rumor floating around this week that, in fact, many of the websites that were, in fact, carrying these photos may have had some subsidiary connection to said...
Really?
Mouse-related producer.
Right. Mm. Interesting.
So
I would not be surprised.
Once again, Disney...
Maybe the spill is on.
See, maybe the spill is on, or you could argue that perhaps Disney has continued its tradition in a very different way, perhaps, of exploiting children. Because for many years, obviously, they got kids hooked on the morphine that is Mickey Mouse.
Yes, he's pretty exciting, Mickey. I've often said to myself, I don't know how I broke the Mickey Mouse habit.
I do, actually. He can drive a tugboat like nobody else.
I went cold mini.
Did you?
That's how I got
cold
off
mini.
It. I went cold mini.
You know, I actually went from Mickey to Donald Duck, because that's a fairly easy transition, then I went Goofy. And from Goofy, I could make my way out.
I think everyone
went
ends
to
up
Goofy. I went to Pluto.
Did you?
Ooh.
Wow, that's a long trip.
That's a very long trip.
I thought everybody
I still haven't come down from Pluto.
Fun?
I thought everyone ended up at Goofy.
Pluto is sort of it's like the side thing.
Mm. Yeah. It's a subgenre.
It's a subgenre. It's a sort of like, it's a bit like, how do I describe it? It's sort of it's the character you do when you're
it's
not
like,
doing
it's
a character.
Like, is it like the Disney Scooby?
Yeah, it's a bit like, oh, yes. Now, see, the Scooby, that was a hard habit to break.
Yes.
So it's Scooby-Doo without the interesting bits.
Which is Scrappy-Doo.
No, it's the show, Pete. I can't think of anything that Pluto was in.
Disney cartoons.
Yeah, most Disney cartoons.
Sure, but name one.
Pluto's Big Adventure.
Yep. Pluto Goes to Town.
You're apart from those.
Pluto Pup.
Yeah.
That's not it.
Plutonium.
Pluto's no longer a planet.
There's nothing, yes. But you know,
Pluto's no longer here.
There's nothing, but by comparison, I can tell you what Scooby-Doo was in.
And Donald Duck does.
Scooby-Doo was in Scooby-Doo.
He was. No one else could have brought that succinctly.
He was also in Fred too, but that's just another story.
Everyone was in Fred.
Exactly.
How do you think they afforded petrol? They didn't have jobs.
It's the neckerchief. That's what it is. That neckerchief just does
it's
it every
the
time.
60s, dude. No one needs a job.
Wasn't the 60s?
Well, they were supposedly.
Was Scooby-Doo
in
the 60s?
They were freaking hippies.
70s.
It was the early 70s, but they were hippies, right?
Well, Shaggy was a hippie.
Yes.
But I don't know if Fred was a hippie.
Oh, the girls were hippies, and Fred was a wannabe hippie.
No. Fred was preppy.
Fred was preppy. Velma was the smart one.
That's right. Velma's the smart one. And Daphne
was
just...
Slut.
No,
Velma
was
you.
She was the girlfriend of Fred.
And
that's how it started.
Yeah.
See? So you had the preppy couple, the nerdy girl, the stoner kid and his dog.
Yeah, but they drove a van, dude.
But see, the other thing is...
Yeah,
I swear it had a peace symbol on the side.
They all must have been smoking dope. Because why else would you actually believe a talking dog?
Well, I don't know. Most of the world
than a talking kangaroo, I'd imagine.
That's true.
Most of the world's been listening to George W. Bush for a while.
Mm. Boom shakalaka.
Yes.
So there we go. Hannah Montana, ladies and gentlemen. I can't say much more about it except for I have embarrassed
myself.
Well,
you haven't said much about it.
No, I haven't actually. And I realised something, Richard. And you know, I thank both you and Abe for allowing me to realise this. That I just wasted 15 minutes of good radio time talking about total shit.
Speaking of which...
Yes.
So we're right on schedule then.
Here we are.
Right.
A young
back on schedule, actually.
I found some things today. They're news related, and I think they'd make a fantastic news segment. We should think about that one day.
Okay.
A young Chinese
news of interesting related things.
Yes.
Never work.
A young Chinese woman was left partially deaf following a passionate kiss from her boyfriend.
Yes.
Did you hear about this
today? I did. Yes.
While kissing is normally very safe, doctors advise people to proceed with caution, and that kissing of the ear can be dangerous. So he missed the mouth. He went straight for the ear. Now, scientists have put it down to unusual antibodies in his saliva, which cause blockages in various orifices. Now,
is that orify?
Orify, could be. Could be. Meanwhile, medical officials are still puzzled why she's constipated.
Now, there's a song we haven't heard for ages.
That it couldn't have been a kiss.
No?
It couldn't have been a kiss, because a kiss is just a...
No, it's not. Where have you been?
You obviously haven't watched the same Hollywood romantic epics that Abe tends to watch.
Yep, that's right. Look, I have
where
to say...
Where kisses are kisses.
I live my life by Gone with the Wind.
Or Titanic, actually.
Or Titanic, actually. I haven't seen that, but apparently it's a sequel to Love, Actually, yes. And everyone dies in the end.
Any Hollywood film that was broadcast or made before the 70s, their kiss consists of...
See, my answer was going to be, I was actually trying to make a porn film name out of the word Titanic and couldn't do it.
Really?
No. Apart from maybe...
How about instead of Titanic, it's tits and dick?
That's right. I was just going to...
What about Titantric?
Titantric,
that's good too! No, I like it!
I was actually just going to say Titanic.
Feel free to just throw that able me at any time.
For the humour. Yeah, why not? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's time once
again. No, tell you what. Well, let's just make it official. I mean, it's been unofficial.
That you're the funny people?
Yeah.
Okay. What are you making official?
Let's just make it official.
That you're the funny people and I am the unfunny person.
Okay, all in favour say aye. Aye.
Aye.
It's
all in favour say nay.
Red or go?
Nay. It's time, ladies and gentlemen, once again for Red Hot Go.
Now, of course, Red Hot Go, if you're not too sure what the segment's about...
Well, make your own fucking intro, then.
It's not my segment anymore.
If you're not too sure what Red Hot Go is actually about, neither are we.
No. It does involve a premier. We're not sure
his
name.
It would help if people had heard it.
What's his name?
Reese.
Oh, that's him.
Like the toilet.
Like the toilet, apparently. Oh. Yeah. So, this, of course, for those of you who have never heard the show before, is our segment about the state of disarray that is New South Wales.
Yes.
I'd just like to say, I'm willing to give Nathan Reese a go.
Somewhere.
A red hot go.
Mm-hmm.
And just put it out there.
Nice.
Oh, you got to give him a year, don't you? You got to give him a year to untangle the disaster.
Well, look, we've given Barry O'Farrell about 12 years of being opposition leader, and he's done nothing except complain about
him. No. To be honest, he's done a great job as staying as the opposition leader.
Yes, very well. He's very good at it.
One of the best
he's
opposition leaders I've ever seen.
Yeah, exactly. He's stayed in opposition for a long time.
So he can stay
there. He's probably the longest running opposition leader.
You know what? The job's his.
I don't think there's any competition.
No, I don't think there is. Certainly not from the Liberal Party.
No, I mean, not even John Howard was in opposition that long.
No.
Would you say, in fact, I'd say he was the most successful opposition leader since Peacock, Andrew Peacock.
Yeah, quite possibly.
He was a very successful opposition leader.
Yeah, he wouldn't put out like he did.
I don't know. Give him half a chance.
I was going to make a comment there that was probably entirely defamatory, so I won't do it.
Please don't.
Now.
By the way, Shirley MacLaine.
Yes, I was actually going to mention Susan Renouf, but that's another story.
Yeah,
now.
Please don't.
No, I don't want to mention her either. Now, I just want to mention for Red Hot Go this week a few bits and pieces.
Sure.
The latest news poll was published this afternoon, which has the coalition leading Labor in New South Wales by a bee's dick margin of 18 points.
Right. Now, you have to admit, this is an ebb and flow thing.
Is that after preferences, right?
That's two-party preferred.
Yeah.
It's two-party preferred.
Right.
It would see Labor lose 21 seats in a landslide loss.
Well, let's call an election now.
So it's still close, then?
It's still close. Could be anyone's. The margin of error is plus or minus 19.
Oh, right.
So it may well be all right.
Could be anything. Who knows?
Who knows? Labor's primary vote is at 26%, the lowest it has ever been.
And what's the coalition's primary vote?
24%.
No, well, actually, I think they haven't listed it here, but it would be somewhere in the vicinity around 42, 43.
So question being, what could the state government actually do now to solve this? What
Move
could they
into
do?
State. Probably.
Well, there's always that.
Well, interestingly, the newspapers haven't really given too many pieces of advice to Premier Rees.
Well, they can't, because that would involve actually having a freaking clue.
Well, see, I actually think that this will probably be the first time in history where Barry O'Farrell, or any opposition leader, all he has to do is sit there, shut the fuck up, and he will be Premier on March 26, 2011.
I don't think the people who ran against Jeff Kennett did a pretty good job.
That's true. That's true. And probably the people who ran against John Howard.
Well, to
be fair, Pete, I mean...
Go Captain Planet.
After doing that for however many... is it 12 years?
No, he's been opposition leader for about two.
I think so.
Because he... Did
but
he
12 was sounds it? Better, so let's say
yeah,
12.
It's 12, yeah.
So he's
well, got a two in it.
He's doing exactly. 22 years.
22 years, yeah.
He's been in opposition for 22 years.
For a generation.
A generation. A whole generation.
And, he's been there ever since I remember. I remember.
Yep.
He's been
since you were a boy.
There.
Since you were a lad.
Since I was a young lad, in the 40s.
And you have 14 grandchildren.
I do.
And 19 great-grandchildren.
None of them remember whatsoever.
And for some odd reason, you only have one child.
Okay, that's too far down the tangent.
Kinky.
So coming back.
I had to get to that
guy. He's so used to it. You said that he... all he had to do was just sit there on his hands. The problem is, though, that tactic isn't going to work when he becomes Premier.
Yep.
So he's not actually experienced in doing anything other than sitting on hands.
No, or banging elbows against walls.
No,
well, unfortunately, the thing about Barry O'Farrell is real... I know. Professional. Who in this room is professional? All in favour, say aye.
Aye.
The problem is with Barry O'Farrell...
Yes.
Yar, welcome back to the show. Yar, look, there be Somalis. So the problem with Barry O'Farrell, it really...
They talk like that, you know.
All he does is complain about anything the government does. The government could actually open a school
but
and he
doesn't even complain. But that's the thing, he's not even complaining anymore.
Well, he was complaining the other day on a certain AM station.
But most TV networks aren't reporting it. Like, I
haven't
why?
Seen... It's because the government fucks up and he says, yeah, good job.
Yeah, exactly. I read the Herald. I have not seen a single thing about Barry O'Farrell talking, because all they have to do is focus on their cartoon, which Moya does in great style of putting Nathan Reese's head as a garbage bucket.
Oh, whoops.
Which, with just the word, just with the word New South Wales economy written on the side.
Oh, which, you know, that's not very nice. Garbage bins are highly effective.
They are.
When was the last time a garbage did anything wrong?
How long's his honeymoon period, do you think, Pete?
I think it lasted about 13 minutes.
And I think that's a shame. We really haven't given the guy, as you say,
a red hot go.
I think we should give him at least 5 years.
Yeah,
I think so.
We gave Morris Yemma 3.
Yeah, that's that was a bad.
And he was an idiot.
He was an idiot.
Honestly, why did it take so long for everyone to realise the guy was a world class dildo? I mean, let me put it this way. The only...
Abe should know, because he knows world-class dildos.
I do. I have to admit, the only thing interesting to do with Morris Yemma, really, is the fact he survived. The guy
Or that
is,
he quit. One of those
or that
two.
He quit. Is an inanimate object.
But you know what my problem with Reese is? The problem with Reese, apart from all of the other bits and pieces, is I'm just going to use two words here. Joe Tripodi. That's the problem. Joe Tripodi is pulling the strings of this guy, and I can't think of a person who is more incompetent as a politician in this country than Joe Tripodi.
Do you reckon if
Morris Yemma?
No! No, not even that!
Pete, do you think if Joe Tripodi went,
yep,
the popularity of the government would go up?
I think if Reese actually went out there and said, you know what, Joe Tripodi, you're an idiot, Orange Grove... Huh? Everything else you're involved with? If he made a public statement and got rid of Joe Tripodi, that is something that would actually... And allow...
I agree, because it still stinks, doesn't it? It stinks.
Of course it stinks.
Because he's still there.
Yeah, and he got promoted out of this. And what's really embarrassing for the state Labor government is the fact that the only reason we actually have a person who finally should be in power... as Premier, which is someone from the left, someone who does understand social responsibility and really understand what the Labor Party's about, he's only there because of the controlling right hand of the New South Wales right.
You know, I have a theory about state politics. Most people don't give a shit.
True.
They just want it to work. So they just want the buses to run on time, they want the trains to work, they want their kids to be able to get skills. They actually don't care.
Yeah.
They just want things to actually... It's unlike federal politics where people actually usually give a bit of a shit, right? Yeah. With state politics, I just think they want it to run well, and they don't care who's behind the scenes. Mm. And to be honest, I wonder if it necessarily does matter that much. So if they did fire Tripodi, people would probably just go, Joe who?
But it's not about firing Tripodi, it's about allowing Reese to be who he actually is. That's the problem. He's not. He's constantly toadying to Tripodi.
And it's like we've kicked out half the cronies, but there's still cronies left. And it's like, well, you know, how much credibility do you have when you say, right, you know, we're going to kick everybody into
life. Give a red hot go.
And you give Tripodi, of all people, a promotion.
On the other hand, maybe the other people behind the scenes have no idea what they're doing anyway. So they actually need someone. But see, yeah, that's the thing. Maybe they need someone there. They think, oh, this guy knows what he's doing. He's the only one who's got the experience. But have you seen state politicians?
But here's the deal, though.
Have you seen them? They're like local councillors with better cars.
Well, like, there was, of course, that situation of Andrew Stoner, who resigned from the National Party front bench this week or last week because he shoved a woman in Parliament. I mean, now that's respectable behaviour. I mean, you know what? He shouldn't just be resigning from his front bench. He should be fucking charged with assault. But because it happens in the chamber, he's you know...
I tell you, if I pushed a woman in the chamber, they'd throw me in jail.
They probably would. Now, the other
sounds painful.
The other issue is there are members of the New South Wales right who believe that they... Rather than having... And this was the argument why Watkins got pushed out.
Punted.
Was that they would... Because Watkins was their best performer, by far. He was the best potential premier.
Yeah, but
he
stuffed
minister.
Up every portfolio he'd been in.
No, he didn't. This is the thing.
Well,
he actually took those portfolios out of the news and got things done. Whereas most ministers are about self-promotion and making themselves look good rather than actually doing the job of a minister. He actually was a true minister.
I do see that. I get it. But unfortunately, the portfolios he was in were high profile enough things to stick.
But they're also basket cases.
Yes.
Police, education, and roads.
Yes, exactly.
Now,
I was never a big fan of roads. I like that, they've got IKEA there. But really, apart from that, it's a mess.
Yeah, I always much prefer Denniston. Now, what was interesting was the fact that there are many people in New South Wales right who said that they would rather Barry O'Farrell be Premier before John Watkins. So they were quite happy to sabotage the Labor Party in order to not see someone that they had a fundamental disagreement with, who happened to be in their own party, be Premier. Now, I think some of what's going on inside the Labor Party now, apart from there's a little bit of the Reba revenge factor still driving this, and the Yemma revenge factor.
It's hard to hate a politician. Reba Ma,
John Howard. Tony Abbott.
Alexander Downer.
What happened to Tony Abbott? There's many, actually. The list doesn't really stop in the Liberal Party,
does it?
No, it doesn't really stop.
Weren't they saying this week that they wanted to bring him back into the Parliament because he couldn't get another job?
Who?
Yeah.
Tony Abbott. He couldn't get another job. He can't get a job in the public
sector.
No,
Tony. Peter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Was that old Costa?
Yeah.
Peter Costa's Ello.
Yes.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah, they're trying to bring him back onto the front bench.
The global financial crisis hasn't been kind to Peter Costello.
No, it hasn't.
They've actually found out he has no talent.
Mm. And Turnbull isn't doing particularly good in their popularity.
I wouldn't be surprised.
In fact, he hasn't increased any more than
Nelson.
Brendan Nelson did, apparently.
Yep. And I would suspect that I think they'll go to the next election with Turnbull, and then he'll get kicked.
I think that's an unwise move, because I don't know whether Rudd would win another election.
Know.
Rudd will win the next election,
His
I would
popularity
suspect.
Rating is massive, but you can tear him down pretty easily.
Mm. Yeah, but see, they're not willing to do so. That's the problem.
No, I think they're willing to give him a go, still.
Yeah, I think so. I think
well, he's the most popular Prime Minister in Australia's history since World War II.
But you know part of the reason why he's that popular? She doesn't answer any questions. There's so little scrutiny on Rudd.
Yeah,
I mean, he's Teflon coated. Mm. Nothing sticks, and the Liberals have thrown some pretty nasty things at him. None of it stuck.
Mm.
He, unlike John Howard, went on 7:30 report. Howard was out there talking to people.
Yeah, but Howard never answered a question. He made the appearance of because he put himself in the limelight, but he never actually answered the question.
Whereas Rudd, for example, has never been on Insiders. Has never been on some of those shows where there is...
He's on Rove, though.
He's on Rove.
Apparently.
And that was a grilling... You know what they talked about?
Mm.
Smarties.
And who do you turn gay for?
Mm.
Rove.
Blue Smarties.
Rove. No, Captain Planet.
Well, that's M&M's.
Yeah.
That's M&M's. And Smarties.
Getting back to Red Hot Go, the thing that also was
announced... You know, I think Rudd...
Prime Minister Rudd.
Captain Planet.
Prime Minister Captain Planet.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, you were saying?
I think people look past the things that have been thrown at him because, and I know Abel have an issue with it. Actually, you will too, Pete.
Yep.
Because I think he's getting things done.
Mm.
I don't have an issue with that.
And the things he gets done don't always get reported.
No, I don't.
Lots of portfolios are actually making good changes, making good things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't, you know, they don't blow off their own fucking whistles like, you know, Howard and all those cronies
There's
did.
There's a couple of
so
ministers
I think,
that
know,
do,
you
but
can,
you're
you
right.
You can throw some things at them and say, yeah, well, blah, blah, blah. But on the other hand...
But that's
know,
hard because you have to sell it. If you don't sell it, there's no... This is going to sound really bad. If you don't sell it, there's no point doing it. Because you have to sell it to people. You have to say, look, okay... We're doing this, and the reason why is this. Because there's no point.
Spin has become essential to the political process.
Yeah, you have to sell it.
But just because the media doesn't pick up on it doesn't mean it shouldn't be done.
I agree.
You know,
he went
into the election with all these promises, and as far as I'm concerned...
He's delivered every one of them.
He's delivered, well, yeah, he's still delivering some of the ones he's promised.
Well, but they need to put that out there. Because the perception is that he's not...
Well,
you look at the Greens today protesting.
Well,
that was
the interesting one. But my perception is he is. So, you know, and I'm not particularly, you know, in the media or anything like that. You know, I read a lot, but, you know, I'm not, you know, an investigative reporter. And my perception is...
You're a journalist,
though. Yeah, I am.
Yeah. No, but the interesting thing is, and Abe raised today, because he announced Australia's... Carbon trading scheme today, and the targets that he set for reductions in carbon emissions have been somewhat controversial.
Yes.
A minimum of 5 and a maximum of 15% below 2000 levels by 2020, which most commentators have said is quite
stupid.
It's not enough. It's conservative. It's not enough.
But see, we have a problem, and I hate to paraphrase John Howard here because he's a fascist wanker. But the main problem with that is that there has to be a sense of practicality. And yes, this is a massive leap forward from the Howard government. Yes, absolutely.
Well, the fact they're admitting that this isn't an act of God in retribution for our heathen ways.
That's right. Mm. Yes,
that's a big change.
It's massive. There has to be a sense of practicality.
Yeah.
And I really hate to be the one to have to say that, because really I tend to not believe that kind of stuff. Mm. But what are you going to do?
See, the problem is, he's now going to struggle because the Greens think this is pathetic.
Yes.
Now, the Greens, along with, Captain Jesus...
and Captain Poker.
And Captain Pokey control the Senate.
Mm.
So he has to get... the Liberals, who have effectively been blocking Labor in the Senate solely because, well, they can, and it just pisses Labor off. There's no real policy directive behind it. It's just purely being, mischievous.
Nasty bastards.
Yeah. He has to get them on side to do this. Now, this is the party that a year ago said that climate change was a myth. And there are still various Liberal commentators, conservative commentators out there. Hi, Andrew Bolt, if you're not listening. Who still go on the idea that this whole climate change thing is a total beat-up.
Ask the Russians when it's the first winter in Moscow where it hasn't snowed since 1800.
I know. It's scary. Mm. Ask the Pacific Islands who are disappearing.
I just think the snow was too scared to turn up.
I would be too.
I'm pretty scared of Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, exactly.
Apparently he's Putin at about.
I've heard that. Putin on the Ritz.
Yeah.
Now, thank you. I may have stolen that from somewhere. I'm not entirely sure, though.
And I made mine up. Thank you.
Now, people, the interesting thing about the way Rudd's going to have to approach this is the fact that he may actually have to make it even more conservative in order to get it through the parliament.
See, he should have started higher and then worked his way down.
Well, that's the stupid. And, of course, today there's been protests. There's been,
I'm
granted
sick.
Granted, he didn't have shoes thrown at him, but...
I'm sick and tired of the Greens. Yes, he did, in effigy.
Oh, effigy.
I'm sick and tired. Look, I understand what the Greens want to do, and I totally... And I support their fantastic efforts, etc., etc., etc. Shut the fuck up. Seriously, I am so sick and tired of their freaking belly aching. You know, as we've discussed before, the left is constantly divided by extremes, right? You either go way out there, you know what, we should ban all motor cars and we should walk to work and we should live on farms.
We should.
You know?
We should ban all people.
Meanwhile, I want my shirt printed in America and posted to me within a week. You know?
My shirt that says... Reduce carbon emissions now.
All my clothes are imported from overseas. Shut up!
But there's
point? Let him make his point. I want to know what...
My point being is...
It's not making any sense.
I think it makes perfect sense.
We haven't finished it yet.
No, I have. Yeah. But so far, I'm working on a tangent, you see.
You're saying I agree with the Greens, but shut the hell up.
I agree with their sentiments. I totally think it's fantastic we have a Green Party. I think it's great we have a sense of reason, right? But they're coming from... A field of meanings that is not particularly engaging. Do you like that? Yeah, rock on.
Field of meanings.
It's fucking deep.
Yeah, I know. Do you like that?
Good.
Rock on, baby.
Wasn't that a film with Kevin Costner?
No, Keanu Reeves.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa!
Field of Meaning. Wasn't that an album by Billy Ray Cyrus?
Could have been. Yes. And Miley Cyrus's boyfriend.
Mm.
Now, what I'm saying is, I think they're expecting this government to go too far out. I understand the point of the Greens is we need to have someone pushing for something that probably no government really could ever reach, right?
Mm.
So why do they expect that we can? It's not a viable alternative. And yes, I totally think...
Well, what are your examples? I mean, if you're taking this as an example, this is a stupid...
Okay, all right. Well, for instance, the Greens think, and I must admit, I do tend to agree with them, we should sink the Japanese whaling ships, right?
Yeah.
They think we should do that. Do you know what would happen if we do that? If the government decided to do that?
They'd stop whaling.
We would have the Japanese naval fleet in our backyard in 5 minutes.
But they'd stop whaling.
Yeah, well, yes, but unfortunately they'd start dropping bombs.
But you've got to stop thinking of consequences, and you've got to start thinking of the...
Short-term expedience.
And thus my point. The practicality is not there. They don't... There's no bigger picture. It's these niche little issues.
Yes, there is. It's a huge picture. Let's sink them.
I can see where you're coming from. The interesting thing about the Greens would be if the Greens were in a position where they actually had direct ability like the Democrats used to.
Who?
Exactly. Natasha Stotspoyer wore boots. You vaguely remember her, don't you? She used to go on Good News Week all the time.
Didn't she sell out and marry a journalist?
No, a PR guy, I believe. Was it a merchant wanker?
No, it was Hugh Rimington.
No. Oh.
Oh.
Oh. No, they went out for a while. They never got married.
Really?
No.
I wonder who's the right. father of the kids then.
Meanwhile.
Back in Parliament. The Greens don't actually have that balance of power because they're relying on Captain Pokey and Captain Jesus.
Yeah, look, balance of power is a bit of a furphy.
Well, no, it's not because they can then...
Well, it fucking is. I mean, if the Labour and the Coalition vote the same way, there's no balance of power. There's only balance of power if the votes are exactly one particular way.
No. No.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good frog.
That's all I'm going to say, no. I'm going to have that, just no. No, my point here is that the balance of power sort of does exist, because ultimately, Labour and Liberal, in theory, we're talking in theory rather than practice, represent polar opposites. They represent the left and the right of the spectrum, right?
One relates, one represents the North Pole,
the other
and
represents
one
the South Pole.
Represents the Correct. South Pole. See, polar opposites.
So,
and polar bears.
So, if we talk about the Greens in, say, the terms of the carbon trading scheme, right? What the Greens want is far in excess of what Labor is willing to propose, right?
It's far in excess of what anyone is willing to propose.
What Labor is proposing is far in excess of what the Liberals would do.
Yes.
Because the Liberals actually want a carbon increase scheme.
Yep, they do. They've actually got an idea. What we're going to do is we're going to let all the people come over here and pollute our country so we can get some money.
Yep.
Yep.
Barrier Reef's going to become the biggest carbon landfill in the world.
I don't think so.
We are carbon whores.
I'm quite surprised at Turnbull.
Yeah, but
I wouldn't be surprised if he comes out
and agrees
with a quite high. Well, they did anyway. Yeah. You know, Howard already said that. You know, he said we're going to abide by Kyoto.
It took him 13 years.
We're not going to sign it, but we're going to abide by it. And that's what they were saying. They had a fair. I can't remember the percentage, but you know, it was high. Well, it was higher than fucking 5%.
That's very true. Now, the interesting factor is, do you then think that Turnbull will drag Rudd up from 5 to 15?
Who knows? Because Turnbull has said that, you know, the Labor government got in, that's what the people wanted, so we're not going to stop any of these. I mean, you talk about them blocking everything.
That's what Beazley did with the GST, remember?
They're not doing that. They're not blocking a lot of things.
True.
They're basically saying, you got voted in, those were your policies,
hang
yourself. We'd be stupid just to fucking block it. And I think he actually fucking agrees with a lot of them.
I think he does too, because effectively...
But obviously, you can't say that.
Yeah, but effectively what Rudd put up, don't forget, we argued this before the election, Rudd put up an incredibly socially conservative agenda. It really was the left wing of the Liberal Party.
No.
Yeah. In many areas, it was the left wing of the Liberal Party.
No, you said that. I didn't say that. And I'm still sticking to, I don't think that's true.
I think he's incredibly socially
conservative. When have you ever been right in predicting politics?
Ever.
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 I know, I'm so disappointed in Hillary.
I know, exactly right.
No, but see, the thing is, and I look, dudes, I totally get where you're coming from. I'm going to find that.
From the right.
Find those episodes.
From the right, that's where
I'm
going
to. And I'm just going to rip you a new bacon hole.
Canadian bacon or American bacon?
Soy bacon.
Soy bacon, nice.
It's good, soy bacon.
I've heard
get
that.
On it, get on
it. I'm on it.
So, anyway...
I'm on it now. I've gone off the goofy.
Oh, shut up. Can we move on?
You're on Pluto.
I was on Pluto. Now,
you know the carbon scheme in Pluto? 1%. Yeah. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it, hippie.
Now, my point. Let me finish my point.
Shaggy.
My point.
It's taken me 40 minutes to get to the point.
No, I didn't even start the freaking point.
How can you say your point when you don't even know what we're talking about?
Who are you?
My point is that Miley Cyrus is still one of the best actresses on television and should have been nominated for a Golden Globe.
All those people out there starting bands, this is for you. Good luck with the future.
Is it time for Richard's side segment yet?
That was Magic Dirt, by the way, with Amoxicillin.
No, it wasn't. It was He-Man.
I don't know. What? I told him to play track 4. Did you play track 3?
I played track 4.
Which is Amoxicillin.
Oh, all right. Well, it was,
there we go.
Just checking on you, Pete.
Walk.
Just checking on you, and
Black
you pass.
Forest. 888.5 FM. And, of course, if you want to get some more information about our show, you can go to our regularly updated website, www.walkbyfrost.org. Zip.
A Florida pizza delivery man who was challenged by armed robbers in the city of Miramar got in first with his own weapon, a large boiling pepperoni pizza.
Nice.
He flung the piping hot pizza at the gunman, then turned on his heels and ran. That's why this guy is the fifth Ninja Turtle.
Wow.
Ooh,
that's good news.
You needed to know.
I did.
I was excited by that. I love Pete.
Here's a question. We're about 21 minutes before the end of the program.
That's way too early for my segment, isn't it?
So it's, I'm just thinking that...
My segment's in about 21 minutes.
No, your segment should be in around about 24 minutes.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I think so. All those in favour of that, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Now,
abstain. Not voting against.
Yeah, no, just abstaining.
I don't want to go against the, you know...
Go against the flow.
That's it.
Now, before we get into Richard Science segment in about 28 minutes...
That is so unfair.
We need to just briefly chat about what's happening in the land of the US of A.
Oh, the land of the home of the free of the homes. No, Bray.
It's not free, really, because the reality is there's a bit of a shall we say, kerfuffle.
Oh, a tete-a-tete.
Oh, I like
a tete-a-tete. Kerfuffle. Happening in the great state of Illinois.
Oh, is that as opposed to the crappy state of Illinois?
As opposed to crappy state of Illinois. Yep, this is the great state of Illinois, which, of course, is the home state of President-elect Barack Obama.
And what else is the home state of? Laverne and Shirley.
And the Chicago Cubs.
Laverne and Shirley.
They're not from Chicago.
Yeah, they are.
They were from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
That's what I said. Chicago.
Schmizzle. Schmizzle.
Schmizzle.
Now, Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich.
I think they're...
Blagojevich.
Their football team should be called the Illinois Thunderbacks.
Nice, I like that.
I think that sounds good.
That's good, I like that. You should actually patent that now.
That's a good idea.
And try and sell it. Yeah. Now, he's a Democratic governor, and he was...
patent a name, Pete.
Yeah, it's point of... You could maybe draw a logo with that in it and make it a registered trademark.
There you go.
Who's a copyright wanker? Richard is. Now, why are we whispering?
Because you were, you wank.
No, this is my normal voice.
Oh, yeah, right.
Get on with it.
That's trademarked.
He's just delaying. He's delaying, trying to burn time.
Until he reads his article.
If I could burn back time.
Now, Smith.
It's not a real name.
BJ. Governor BJ.
I mean, who would call himself Blagojevich?
Governor BJ.
Actually, there's a woman in China, and I think she's got a blocked up vagina.
Does she do a Governor BJ?
Yeah. Oh, she could.
She's now, Governor, a blog. Governor BJ
Has just been subpoenaed and cited on charges of...
Subpoenaed and cited.
Subpoenaed and cited. Well, he's been cited to... He's been impeached, to be correct. That's the cited part. And the subpoena is the fact that they've charged him with corruption. Basically, BJ and his bear have...
who, strangely enough, was actually...
a monkey.
The guy, Buck Rogers.
Was it?
That was his bear.
That was his bear.
Yep,
Jill Gerard.
Yep.
He's a pretty hairy man, is Jill Gerard.
He's a very hairy man.
So is Erin Gray, but that's another story.
You know what he loves?
Erin Gray?
Man-on-mare bear in action.
Nice.
Bear action.
BJ here, and the bear, has basically attempted to sell the vacant Barack Obama senatorial seat.
Oh, excellent. Are you buying it?
It's out of my price range, unfortunately.
Oh.
Because basically said that because he gets to appoint the vacancy, he sees that this is a chance to make something of this. Mm.
And so why is it his duty exactly?
Well, because as the governor, he has the sole power to appoint a replacement, as does the premier of a state here in Australia, where a senator dies or resigns. So that, of course, is what formed the constitutional crisis of 1974, when Joe Bjelke-Petersen didn't appoint a replacement Labor senator to the Senate. He replaced him with Vince Gare, who was from the Democratic Labor Party, the DLP.
Yes.
And that gave the balance of power to Malcolm Fraser, who was able to block supply and form the constitutional crisis of 1975.
Otherwise known as the Gare Incident.
The Gare Incident.
Yep, yep.
Tell you what, if this show isn't educational, it ain't shit.
Now, interestingly enough...
No, it is shit.
Gare later went on to... he didn't have a very long career in politics. He went on actually to start a motoring show called Top Gear.
Nice.
Which was later done in the UK as Top Gear.
Nice.
He loved his car gear, and he also has a massive fan of the hamster.
Do you know where
fan of the hamster.
I actually have to say where he actually ended up was the ambassador to Ireland and the Holy See.
Really? Mm. It's pretty wet, the Holy Sea.
It's very wet. Well, particularly because if it's in Venice.
Well, there's so many holes in it. The water just comes flooding through.
Unbelievable. Mm.
Anyway, BJ basically attempted to sell it, sell the senatorial seat. He was taped by state prosecutors and federal prosecutor, something Fitzgerald.
So who gets the money?
He was going to get it. He was going to get it in kickbacks. He was also trying to sell the seat in order to get... a higher role himself on a charity board or as an advisor to the Obama administration, something that would actually boost his own personal career.
Right.
Now, what's really interesting about Governor BJ is that whilst this has actually been an investigation that's been going on since November and corruption allegations around him have been investigated for almost a year, he stood there on the steps of the Illinois Senate and said, I have never...
had sexual relations with
that
woman.
I have never attempted to sell the seat. I have never attempted to gain personally out of it. This is all bullshit. 1 hour later, they played the tapes.
Mm. Right. That's a little embarrassing.
He
you know?
Still hasn't resigned, and he is actually talking about vetoing his own impeachment.
You know, you've got to admit there's something wrong with the executive branch when you can impeach your own impeachment.
Mm. That's very true. Or impinge your own impeachment. Anyway,
yes.
Or just veto it, really.
Yes.
So, not much more to say about that, except to the fact that...
are they making a sequel?
They are making a sequel.
You know, this could leave an ugly stain on the Obama presidency.
Yeah, it could.
From day one, this could leave an ugly stain.
Well, this is...
But because Obama's jumped straight in and said, you know, get rid of him.
But here's the deal. Rahm Emanuel, his appointed chief of staff, initially said that I've had no conversations or sexual relations with this man. And then was
but
found
on
out...
on closer inspection, they found skid marks.
But on closer inspection, they found that perhaps...
And there's the ugly stain.
That perhaps he had actually had discussions about this, about who would be the most suitable replacement
who'd
for Obama.
Well, as you would. As you would. Like, if a suitable,
Not suitable as in who's suitable to serve the people of Illinois, who is going to be most friendly to the Obama administration...
well, fair enough.
Agenda.
But are you telling me that no politicians would do that? Of course they would.
But it was more the denial that he'd had any discussions about it that left a little bit of a dark stain on the underpants of the transitional...
Which is what Abe just said
yes.
5 minutes ago.
Yes.
I know.
Ugly stain.
Very
which
ugly stain.
You, which makes you wonder.
It makes me a plagiarizer.
Well, that too.
That's very true. So there we go. That's what's happening. There's actually surprisingly little happening as being reported in this country anyway about the transitional arrangements. Except, of course, the fact that George Bush had two shoes thrown at him.
I want to speak about the shoe incident, which brings up a very interesting idea.
To talk about the shoe incident.
Very quickly, an interesting thought. A... The
it's
Secret
gone viral.
Service.
Did you know that?
What?
It's gone viral. It's now the top...
According to the headline.
According to the headline, Bush's shoe-throwing incident goes viral, I believe, in the headline.
All I need is some odour eaters. Mm-hmm. It would solve the whole thing. Mm. Now, of course, we, of course, know about the shoe bomber. What if there was a bomb in the shoe?
Ah, see,
we also know that the Secret Service are very, very slack. He didn't throw just one shoe.
He got
two. He threw
off.
Two. Mm. Why? You know, seriously, shouldn't the guy be double-tapped in the middle of the forehead by the time he took off his second shoe?
You know, that's exactly what I was thinking when I saw the thing.
I'm just waiting for some guy to pull out a pistol and go, tink, tink.
Yeah.
With like 300 cameras in the room?
So
with that new super quiet pistol that goes tink, tink.
Tink, tink, yeah.
Yeah, Heckler & Koch, SD4.
It doesn't go tink, tink.
Yes, it does. Have you heard the SD3 fire?
No.
It doesn't make any noise at all. It basically goes tink, tink.
Or does it go...
Yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, no, that's the sound of the bullet entering through the skull and completely destroying the brain.
That might be crack, crack.
Are they very accurate?
What's that?
Are they very
accurate? The SD3, yeah, the most accurate silenced weapon.
How can they be?
What do you mean? Heckler & Koch make the most accurate assault rifles and, you know, submachine guns in the world.
So they don't spread to area?
No. No, they can, but they don't.
They're designed for more precise.
That's why they use them. Nine millimeter parabellum. Unless, of course, you're using UMP, and that's
you read that in
caliber.
Shooting Australia, didn't you?
I did. I had my magazine here.
Yes, I know. You'd be able to point out the article.
I was shocked this week to discover. Oh, wait a minute, I was back on the thing, wasn't I?
Yeah, back on the
George W. Bush.
No, you're right. No, I agree.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Secret
they should have popped him. They should have popped him.
Very slack. The other thing as well is it reminds us that one of the reasons why the Somali civilian population turned against the Americans in the Somali conflict was a very, very simple lack of or communication between the Somalis and the Americans, and you see this in Black Hawk Down, but also was happening at the time with the Americans when they're flying in their helicopters, put their feet out of the side of the helicopter, and of course the Somalis looked up and saw the soles of their feet, which is a massive, you know, insult in Islam.
Yes.
So I thought it was interesting that was again raised.
Yeah, it was interesting. And the other thing I thought was great was
Clinton's
the fact that...
Clinton's war.
That, you know, if they hadn't popped him, I would have expected at least a Secret Service agent to take the second shoe.
Yes, that's right.
To jump in front of him and take the second shoe.
The fact that... The fact that Bush had to duck both of them. But the fact is, he actually did duck both of them.
Yeah, well, you know, never let it be said that Bush doesn't do his own stunts.
And
that's true.
The other thing as well is, did you notice who actually stopped the guy? Did you see
other reporters,
him?
Wasn't it?
Another reporter.
The fact that he had 2 feet, I think, was what stopped him. Yeah.
Well, there was always that, I suppose.
I actually wore 4 shoes today, just for this.
Took off his socks, threw his socks.
Yes.
Took off his belt.
He hasn't changed those for 4 days.
Yuck.
That
where's the...
Malachi,
you finished or what?
No, I'm not done with this yet. I'm done with that, sir. I'm done with Bush. Thank you. I'm done now. Actually, no, shit, there's like 10 minutes to go. We can't let him do the segment.
Oh, it's really quick.
I was shocked this week to discover that the world is in a state of war.
It is?
It's true. Apparently... I don't quite understand the story, but Nicolas Sarkozy is very upset and has somehow caused the nation of Brunei to sue a bag manufacturer for $160,000.
Isn't he married to the nation of Brunei?
I think he is.
Yes.
So somehow there's a link between the nation of Brunei, who are now at war, technically...
Who actually goes by the name Carlo, because Nation of... No one wants to go and say, hey, Nation of, what you doing? So just
that's
Carlo.
True. Exactly.
That's his name, which he'd want to be called that.
Yeah, that's true. So Pardor, which is the firm, they're very upset.
Mm-hmm.
And they're now being sued, and they're at war against the nation of Brunei. I am shocked and amazed. What is the world coming to?
Nothing.
No, I was taken aback.
Yeah, no, I was too. I'm lost, though.
Are you?
Yes.
It's a sad state of events.
You know what we could do now?
What?
Yes.
When one of our great peace-loving nations...
Brunei. Yeah. France, actually.
And France, I was going
to
say.
Is forced to go to war. Yes.
Let it be said that the French will back away from a good fight.
And back away from everything else.
The French, of course, though, are upstanding people.
Oh, they're absolutely.
Who, I would argue, for example, environmental protectionists.
Environmental protectionists, definitely.
Well, and also they are leaders in alternative fuels, such as nuclear power.
Exactly. Right. And nuclear weapons.
Renewable.
Exactly, right.
That's right.
Power. Yeah, just ask Bikini Atoll. That's been powering the entire Pacific for about 14 years now.
You don't like it, need a night light in that era of the world.
Exactly right. It's permanent daylight.
Honey, I'm reading a book. Turn out the light.
The glow's a little green.
Yes.
That's all right.
True. Yes.
I can't say anything about the French, because I like the French. I do.
Do you?
I do. I like Nation of, too.
Nation of, yeah. Not a fan of Nation of.
No.
Well, not after this whole Echoes of War.
Yeah, fair enough.
I will say, however, we're getting very close to the end of the program, so now it's time for...
That's Lars Ulrich working hard on his bass work there. What he actually did, and this is really cool, is he got his headband, his tennis headband, and he was hitting it against the toms in like a bass pattern.
Was he really?
And then he put it through...
Did the toms mind?
No, they did. They are okay about it. Then he put it through a piece of software that is pretty much freely available to everybody if you're willing to spend $17.4 million on it.
Yeah, yeah. What's that called? Napster?
Napster. Mm-hmm. To make that sound. And then now it's appeared on an album by...
That was the Dukes of Windsor. You're on 2RRR, 88.5 FM. This is A Walk in the Black Forest.
And it's time, ladies and gentlemen, finally, and I think this has been given its appropriate time.
I don't believe it.
It's time for... Richard's Science Segment!
You're off mic.
I was yelling up there.
That's not up there. Your eyes are looking up. This is not off mic.
You guys will let me know when the intro's done, won't you?
Science segment! Yeah, right, do it.
Good. Hi, how are you, lad?
Good, we're really good. How are you doing?
Fantastic. My first one.
Oh, breaking news. No.
By the way, there's no outro.
Oh, okay, excellent.
Yeah, the wonderful thing about science is that time ticks over and... Yeah.
Time.
It's not like news, whereas if I was to tell you a news story 2 months after it happened, you're going, that's old freaking news. But if I told you a bit of science 50 years after it happened, you go, oh, that's interesting.
It's a bit like saying John McCain is on the campaign trail. Versus
exactly
versus Franklin Delano
Roosevelt. Where the great white go to root?
Yeah, fair enough.
Which you'll get later in the segment if we get that far in, which I'm sure is a personal topic that you. Right. Okay. So, where are we? Okay. So, what Google is doing is
they allow you to type in a word, and it comes up with a whole list of things that have got that word in it.
They can predict. They can predict. When the flu hits the world, and when flu epidemics are in the world, and where they are,
where someone slides
shows
a flu up their bum.
Do you know how they do this?
It's usually with an enema thing, or maybe a syringe.
They track the number of searches for the words flu and other symptoms of flu, and they can predict faster than any other method in the world how a flu is building up and where it is and all that sort of stuff within a day of it breaking.
Except with tea leaves. That's faster.
That is faster. But the second fastest is Google results. Isn't that amazing?
That is stunning.
I was trying to think through other things that, you know, that they could look for.
And this from the company...
Using this technology. Yeah. Something that would be really funny. I couldn't think of anything.
But this is from the company that brought you Google Chrome.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was just a comment. It was just meant to be a sarcastic comment.
All right. You should probably put some sarcasm in.
This is from the company that bought you Google Chrome.
Yes, fantastic.
All right, there we go.
So this is a new Google module. It's called Google Flu Trends.
Nice.
You can go to the advanced tab and go to Google.
I was
going to
say, is that the little tab up the bottom?
Yeah, it is Google Flu Trends.
Oh, yes. Nice. So you can write bird and click on the tab.
Yes.
Or you can write, you know, epidemic, click on the tab.
Exactly.
Runny nose?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think you just click on the tab and it tells you where the flu is.
Oh, nice.
And you can steer clear of there. And you can probably just go into Google Earth and find out where that is, and you can laugh at all the people who got
the
flu.
I think the flu's actually on the 442 from Hornsby.
You know what you could do? You could buy shares in tissue manufacturing in that country.
Yep.
And then sell them when it goes on.
Yeah.
You can make a fortune.
Absolutely.
I'm going to make a fortune.
That's going to stop the global financial crisis. Yep.
I think Kleenex and all those people are actually got... Yeah,
that's shares in Google.
Google Flu Trends is their homepage.
Nice. Would you actually honestly trust any other tissue but Kleenex?
I don't even know which one.
I actually prefer the brand that I purchased at the $2 shop for 99 cents. Swan brand.
Really? Doubles as a razor, are you?
But doubles as a razor,
yes.
and I've actually been using it to cut back this nice piece of furniture that I'm working on.
Great.
Mainly for the rough stuff. I wouldn't use it for the smooth bit.
And how's your ass?
Pretty tasty.
Bit. Going through the old rector Jesus.
Incidentally, without interrupting,